Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for being with me today. As we are looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, I just want to ask you to be praying for a mission team from our church that's beginning to serve in Kentucky today for the next several days. So would you be praying for them for safety and travel and while they serve there, and for God to give them opportunities to have gospel conversations with people as well. Now, to understand chapter 2, you have to back up to the last few verses in chapter 1. Paul apparently had indicated on a previous visit to the believers in Corinth that he would come back, and he had been delayed and not come back. And so some of the people got mad at Paul and thought, well, he wasn't a man of his word. Okay. It's amazing how we do that. But anyway, so Paul is addressing that issue. And so in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, but I determined this for my own sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. Paul says, the reason I did not make that return visit that I had said I wanted to make was because that first visit apparently had been a very difficult visit experience. Why? Because as you read the chapter, it seems to indicate that during this visit, they had dealt with the situation Paul discussed in his first letter to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You remember that's the man who was a member of the church that was sleeping with his stepmother. And the church had not dealt with it. And Paul said, you've got to deal with this. I know it's painful when you have to deal with a church member who's living in sin, but you've got to do it. And so Paul had apparently written that letter, and he had visited them, and it had been tough. And so Paul wanted to give time for things to settle down before he went back. Those wounds, you might say, were still kind of open and raw. And he tells us in verses 3 and following that he wrote that letter to them, 1 Corinthians, instructing them, pushing them, asking them to deal with the situation because they had been reluctant to do so. Well, even though it had been a painful visit, apparently they did deal with it. And apparently at some point afterward, that man repented because Paul tells them it is time for you to forgive that man and show him love. Look at verse 6. He said, sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority. Remember Paul back in 1 Corinthians 5 had said, when you come to get the majority of you, you need to church discipline this person. They did. And he said, that's enough. So that verse 7, on the contrary, so now you should rather forgive and comfort him. Apparently he had repented. And Paul is saying, now forgive him and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. If you don't forgive the repentant brother or sister and comfort them, you just make them feel that they can never be forgiven and there's no hope, and you push them away from the church and away from the faith. They will be overwhelmed, he says. In verse 8, therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. Now notice that. I urge you to reaffirm. Do something to affirm to this person that you really do love him. Verse 9. For this end also I wrote so that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. In other words, Paul says, through your actions, you're going to demonstrate whether or not you take seriously that people who live in great sin need to be dealt with, confronted, but also when they repent need to be forgiven and loved and welcomed into the fold, so to speak. So that's what he's talking about in this short chapter. Now, devotionally, what stood out to me was verses 10 and 11, where he talks about the power, and not in a good way, but in a bad way, the negative consequences, the negative power of not forgiving people, of holding on to grudges, of an unwillingness to forgive, if you will. Look at verses 10 and 11. He says, but one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. That's a long way of saying, Paul says, if you've forgiven this man, I already have. Okay, nothing extra needs to be done to get me to forgive him. If you forgive him, if you believe he's repented and forgive, I forgive him. That's what Paul is saying. Now, verse 11, he said, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Paul says, we do not want Satan, the devil, to take advantage of us as Christians and hinder our faith, hinder our witness, hinder our walk with Jesus. And in the context, what he's teaching is that when we don't forgive and reaffirm love to those who repent, we give Satan an open door into our lives. Holding on to grudges and not forgiving opens you to the schemes of Satan to defeat you spiritually. And so in life, we all have to figure out, learn how to forgive people. And how to let go of things in life, in our family, in our marriage, with other believers, with friends. We must learn how to practice forgiveness and then letting go. Because if we don't, then we've just opened the door for Satan to destroy us and maybe destroy others, whether it's a marriage, family relationship, believers in your life group or D group or at church, friends. You see, one of the benefits of forgiving people is that, listen to this, one of the benefits of forgiving people is that you defeat Satan in your life. When you forgive, you defeat Satan and what he's trying to do in your life. When you don't forgive, you make Satan stronger in your life. And to me, that's an important lesson to learn, and that's the teaching of 2 Corinthians 2. Hey, God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow as we look at chapter 3.